Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like, if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him, too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jack weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We're back after a week off. We hope you didn't mind us being out for a little bit, but it has been a very interesting week of football, to say the least, and there's a lot of juice in the college game, much of it in prime time and late night, and in the NFL... maybe not the greatest weekend, but there was some juice in there as well, especially in the late window. So overall, a lot to recap tonight as we bring our panel back for the mix for football picks, continuing our season-long contest. We want to thank our guest picker, Lou in Hoboken, sending in the picks last week via the text. We will tell you how he did momentarily. And tonight on the program, we have Ron in New Jersey and John in Connecticut joining us on the air. Andy, I think, will join us, but I don't see him yet, so we could hear from him tonight. I believe he'll call in at some point, so we'll keep an eye on that as we talk about the latest from the world of both college and pros, and just some big wins for big teams going along in the mix. We are sorry we weren't able to come on last week, and I do want to remind everyone also that we will not, well, not remind, but I want to tell you that we will not be on next week either for football picks. We will have a show, but we're going to do the MLB postseason preview coming up Monday night, but Wednesday we will forego the podcast in favor of written picks, and we do that every year just so that everybody can enjoy the wild card games, and so we'll still post them on the website, and we'll let you know how that goes as well. So, as it turned out, you may not know this, but I was actually sick during most of last week anyway. So even if the other fellas had other stuff going too, but even if they didn't, I probably couldn't do the show. It's kind of funny. But by the time I got to the end of the week, I was doing better. So, I mean, that thing was all week. It was kind of funny. But at the end of the week, I had a scheduled trip to Las Vegas. And in that trip, I met our friend John in Connecticut. Very exciting time. It's cool to meet him for the first time, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But first, let's get right to the segment. Certainly some prospects on the table, but the table's starting to look very, very short for one Jim Harbaugh, who had just a brutal weekend. Brutal weekend for Mike Leach. Brutal weekend for for the Giants front office, because they look like fools waiting so long to put in Daniel Jones in the game, and he played pretty well. And the Jets, well, what can you say about them at this point? A lot going on in football, and we count down to a pretty big showdown on Thursday night this coming week between the Eagles and the Packers. And the Packers looking pretty good defensively lately, but I wonder if the Eagles might be a little pesky here in this matchup as well. For the college, it was a showdown that we saw between Georgia and Notre Dame, and I have to say, you know what, that big showdown, a lot of hype, but it actually lived up to the hype. Pretty good stuff. So a lot of things were decided on this weekend, and there's just too much juice to really summarize in like a couple paragraphs. So let's get right to all the best. And everybody's now with us. Andy's with us. John is with us. Ron's with us. And we're glad that you're with us. Let's hit it. Football picks week 5. Sorry for that ramble there. Okay, let's get to last week's action. We had a great week. Ron in New Jersey, Andy in Seattle, and I, Dave in the City, all went 3-1. So it was a three-way tie for first place last week for week number 4. John in Connecticut did pretty solidly at 2-2, and he had the sweep of the pro picks. Yeah, the NFL picks. Last week, and Lou in Hoboken in the guest picks also went 3-1. So here are our standings after 4 weeks. It is Andy at the top at 9-2-3. Dave, right after him, at 7-6-1. John is at 6-7-1, tied with Ron at 6-7-1, both for third place. The guest picks this year, up to now, 7-7, and that's pretty good considering Tommy went 0-4 the week before. I forgot to mention that in the open. So Tommy New Jersey was the guest picker the week before. Not so good. But we will give him another shot at it later in the season, and hopefully he can come on to join us to talk about all the scenarios, as we will do tonight. So let's bring in our panel. Let's go one by one, and we'll start tonight with Ron in New Jersey. Ron, good to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Good to be back, Dave. I'm happy to hear that there was no hangover scenario in Vegas with you and John, and you guys made it out, and you're here tonight. So couldn't be better.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you. And Andy, welcome back to the show as well. How's it going tonight?
Not too bad. Good to be talking sport, and yeah, we can digest the Mike Leach turd fest in a little bit. Oh my gosh, that Pac-12.
Oh my goodness, I know. So now our third panelist tonight, John in Connecticut. John, great to meet you over the weekend. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, Dave, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was skeptical at first because I was like, oh my God, this, you know, he's going to mush all my bets. But you were there. You can testify that I had an unbelievable Sunday on NFL and the sports book. I think my only loss was the stupid Jets under. And that was only because the Jets had two defensive touchdowns. Otherwise, that would have hit. So definitely a lot of fun watching the games with you. And, you know, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, definitely. The feeling was mutual. You know, it's a fun place. We were at the Mirage Sportsbook to check out all the scenarios and some good games in the mix. Probably, what would you say? Would you say there was more juice in the Sunday action we were at than the Saturday action?
Yeah, definitely more people there betting the NFL. I mean, the games were okay on Sunday. I think I just liked it better because I won money on Sunday and Saturday didn't go too well. But I think it was rough on Saturday for a lot of people. I think a lot of the kind of touted picks and whatnot were losers. So I would definitely say Sunday had more juice for sure.
Yeah. Just a pro tip for everybody who goes to a sports book. If you get a beer, just be aware that's going to be $9 for a bottle of Sam Adams. Nine freaking bucks for that. That was kind of ridiculous. So, John, you got introduced to the Vegas pricing as well, yeah?
Excuse me. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I was lucky. I bet enough, so I got a drink ticket, so I didn't have to pay the $9. But I guess you could say, well, I really paid 100 something for my beer, but whatever.
And now I got a drink ticket the day after, and I guess it's because I had a Steeler hat on at the time. So, okay. Yeah, I was happy for that. Steelers played pretty hard, but we'll talk about that in the NFL portion of the show. So let's first go to recaps. Let's start with Ron. Ron, just so much to talk about here. Let's get your thoughts on last week's action in college.
Yeah, you know, it started I guess last Thursday or Friday, whatever it was, when Utah, and let's be honest, I mean, the Pac-12 making the playoffs was a long shot to begin with, but and I know Cal's undefeated, but, you know, let's be honest, they're not going to rise to, you know, the prominence where they could make the playoffs. So, you know, Utah was the last real hope, in my opinion, that they had to go undefeated and make a run for the playoffs. And, you know, they played your USC team, Dave, and every chance to win that game. And like our friend Andy always says, they didn't respect the pigskin. You know, the turnovers killed them. Turnovers in the red zone, which make it, you know, twice as bad. And, you know, they let USC throw the ball all over the place. And, you know, you get one of those seems like every year we get one of those games where a Pac-12 favorite goes down on a Thursday or Friday night to a team that they should beat. So, you know, that was the Pac-12 title hope going out the window in that game. But kudos to USC. And then Saturday, I know you mentioned before the Notre Dame-Georgia game. which you're right, it lived up to the hype. You know, I kind of thought going into it, Georgia would run all over them. And, you know, Georgia is obviously the superior team, and you saw that in the second half of that game. But the first half, you know, kudos to Notre Dame. They played, you know, toe-to-toe with them and made it interesting, made you stick around for the later part of the game and made it interesting. But Georgia's just too big, too strong, too fast. You saw Brian Kelly getting desperate late in the game, you know, having the players obviously fake injuries. But, you know, I guess that was expected. You know, I'm sure all of us thought Georgia would win that game. But it was, you know, more entertaining than I at least thought it was going to be. And the other big game from that day, Michigan getting blown out by Wisconsin. And like you said, you know, when does the calls for Harbaugh's job grow to a point where, you know, maybe he steps down, maybe he tries to get back into the NFL, because it's not working there for him, you know, and we've seen it year after year where, you know, the narrative is that it's their time now and they're going to take that next step. And, you know, it just hasn't happened. He's never been able to, you know, he constantly brings in top 10 recruiting classes. They just can never put a full team together where the offense and defense are both, you know, actually producing, you know, above average results. It's either, you know, one or the other are struggling. And, man, they got their ass kicked by Wisconsin. It wasn't even competitive. So you got to think that, you know, the groundswell is starting to rise in Ann Arbor for Harbaugh to either step up or step out. And, you know, it's going to be a long season for them. And if they get blown out against Ohio State, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And I'll let you guys discuss the Washington State UCLA game. All I can tell you is that I went to bed, I think it was 49-17 in the third quarter. And I woke up the next morning and I saw that UCLA looked dead as a doornail. You know, Chip Kelly didn't even look like he was invested in the game. I would have thought it would have been like, 80-17 by the time I woke up the next morning. And to find out UCLA won, I still don't know how that happened. I know you guys probably on the West Coast stayed up and watched that game, so I'll defer to you guys. But that's my breakdown of the college last Saturday.
All right. Well, it bears no further delay. Let's go to Andy for his recap of last week's action.
Yeah, I mean, I was basically glued to the couch all weekend long, basically. And it's one of those scenarios where, I went 3-1 in the podcast, but I got my ass killed in real life. I like it the other way. Give me 0-4 in the podcast and a decent day in real life. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And, you know, Thursday, no one really cares about Tulane Houston, but that was a crazy, crazy game. If you had Tulane, you had a very lucky cover. And then the next night, if you had Florida International versus Louisiana Tech, if you had FIU, you got burnt. But I'm sure there's someone out there that had both Houston and Louisiana Tech. And if you had both, then condolences to you, and maybe you shouldn't gamble. But as Ron mentioned, that Friday night game, USC Utah, I mean, your buddy Joe Davis, Dave, he is so fucking generic. Read a book. Do some research, all right? We had to hear him say about Whittingham. He builds the program on discipline and taking care of the football and not making mistakes. And not this year's Utah team, you know. Maybe that's the thing about the Utah. Like 10 out of 12 games, they do. You know, they're, you know, Shaw, Stanford 2.0, but oh man, they self-destructed on Friday. maybe the best thing that happened to USC was Slovan getting hurt, or Slovis, whatever his name is, because Fink the Dink, the third-string quarterback, man, he was throwing a nice deep ball. You know, just some of those catches were pretty impressive. He throws a good deep ball. So we'll see how long that mojo lasts. They're big underdogs against UDuh this weekend, but that should be interesting. You know, the whole Pac-12 is just a messy punch bowl. And now you've got UDuh, people being like, oh, this Cal upset's not so bad after all. We can take care of business. You know, the more Cal keeps winning, the better for UDuh. You know, they can take a one-loss Pac-12 team. I don't think so. Washington State, you know, some of my mouth-breathing Washington State friends, they're like, that comeback wasn't as crazy as it seems because of our style. You know, it's not that, you know, the way Mike Leach runs his offense, anyone can come back from 30. Oh, that, okay. All right. This is how we're going to spin it, because your coach sometimes doesn't like to toss in a handoff every now and then, if anyone can come back from 32. Make up your mind. That was just ridiculous. I had three screens on that game, San Diego State, Utah State, and the Herm Edwards Colorado game. And I'm paying attention to Herm Edwards Colorado. Next thing you know, I turn to my left and I'm like, what the? How is it a 11 point game? Oh, how is it a four? How? Okay, now we're losing. Now Washington State losing. So I had a teaser. I had a bunch of bets that were tied to Washington State go literally up in smoke in a span of like 2 minutes. It was pretty sad. And some of my Washington State friends, they're just in denial. They're in denial. That was just a bad loss. You know, I do like to, you know, some of the, when Gary Danielson, like he's a little mean to the Pac-12 to a degree, but after this weekend, he was right. Doggy asked him about the game and he was like, I don't care about that game with Pullman. He's like, that whole offense, that whole conference up there is like, is just glorified flag football, and to a degree it kind of is. I know UDuh put a little more pro set, but you know, they built their mess. If you want respect, you gotta figure it out, and they're cannibalizing each other. Speaking of cannibalizing each other, UCF, a surprise loss against Pitt. You know, they were down early, then all of a sudden they had the lead, they were driving, basically they had all the momentum in the game, they got stuffed on fourth and two. They spread it up the middle, and then Pitt came back, and they ended up winning that game. That was a little disappointing. You know, Heupel was, you know, lesson learned. Don't dig yourself in 21-0 holes on the road, because, you know, quarters 2-3 and half of 4, they were back to UCF being UCF. But there's too big of a hole to climb for UCF, and so that's – you know, now we're going to see, you know, they could still get to a New Year's bowl game, but now Boise State's in the mix. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Another opposite of gold star I'd like to throw out there. How about Texas A&M? How about Jimbo Fisher? How about you? One F-bomb's enough. What an egg. What a freaking egg. That's two eggs. You laid an egg against Clemson, and now you laid an egg against Auburn. It's just a disgraceful effort out of A&M. You're at home. You know, this Pat Nix's son isn't that good. You know, he's fast, but he's not like a thrower of a football. And Jimbo, supposedly this offensive guru, you know, he's got Mond. He just can't throw a football into the ocean if he's on a naval carrier. But it is what it is. Just a terrible, terrible effort out of A&M at home. So screw you. And then, yeah, that Georgia-Notre Dame game, it was very entertaining. Credit to Notre Dame for they had a really decent offensive game plan in the first half. I was very surprised, actually. Georgia, I feel like Georgia could have thrown the ball a little more, especially early. Fromm didn't really take any deep shots for whatever reason. And we know Notre Dame's defense traditionally has a lot to be left desired. But Georgia was then was able to, you know, survive. They definitely survived. I'm not sure what Kirby Smart was thinking, kicking that field goal on fourth and less than a foot, basically. And then the Notre Dame players rolling on the ground to prevent Georgia from going hurry up was just completely tough to take. And they'll have karma come back to them at some point. That was just, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. And yeah, you guys already mentioned Michigan. They're very antiquated. Everyone else is adapting with the offense these days. And Jim Harbaugh still thinks it's 1942 out there. So lean times for Michigan.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, we used to think that when Lloyd Carr was on was the coach of the team. We were like, oh, man, Michigan just isn't what they used to be. But I think you would take that over what they're doing today. It's just, it's really funny how things have devolved since that time. Let's go to John and let's get your recap of last week.
Yeah, I'll just build upon that. I mean, it's just not working in Michigan. Remember I think it was his first year, they were that fourth down play away against Ohio State from making the college football playoff. And, you know, unfortunately for them, the review, even though it could have gone their way, it didn't, and they missed out. But it's just been, ever since then, it's just like pushing a boulder uphill. They get good recruits, there's all this hype, and it just never works out. They can't win a big game, they can't win a bowl game. And their new coordinator, Josh Gattis, he's not working out this year. Their defense, it blitzes too much, and they get burned. I mean, Jonathan Taylor could have had like 300 yards on Saturday if he hadn't gotten hurt and left the game. You know, it was just an embarrassing performance by Michigan. And, you know, where do they go from here? Like, I mean, theoretically, if they won the rest of their games, they would probably be in the college football playoff. But, you know, who would pick them right now to beat? They still have to play Ohio State and Michigan State and Notre Dame. And they have some tricky road games too now, like at Maryland and at Penn State. So they're probably going to lose another, you know, say two or three more games. And where does that put Harbaugh next year for another 8-4 season? I don't know. Maybe he'll go back to the NFL. I would think Jets fans might take him right now over Adam Gase. That's for sure. If that's a possibility. But yeah, it's just a disaster at Michigan. So we'll see if they can kind of rally and change their season around, but it certainly does not look promising after that game on Saturday. And you know, I had Michigan, and that was just very, very disappointing. I thought they would show up, especially after a bye week. But props to Wisconsin too. So they're going to be a contender now. They play Ohio State next month, and obviously that'll be a huge game for the Big Ten. Yeah, Andy mentioned UCF. Unfortunately, could not get the road win after they stormed back and took the lead by 10. You thought, okay, they're kind of just going to win here like two touchdowns or something, but they couldn't close it out. They give up the trick play at the end of the game, and unfortunately, their playoff hopes, even if they were probably never getting in the playoff anyway, but officially their playoff hopes are gone. They can certainly get that New Year's Six bowl game, and I agree, would rather see them in there than Boise State. But there's some other contenders in the AAC this year. SMU is really good, and they just won on the road at TCU. They have the former Texas transfer Shane Buscelli as their quarterback, and they're playing great ball right now. So maybe watch out for them in the AAC going on the rest of the season. That Cal Ole Miss game was crazy. I do not know how the Pac-12, I think it was Pac-12 refs, how did they not review Ole Miss's third down play on the goal line? Like, that's the whole game right there. If you didn't see the game, it's like under 10 seconds left. Ole Miss throws a pass. The guy catches it. It's like a kind of an option route. And he catches it on the goal line, and the ref like marks the ball at the inch line. When you kind of see the ball might have crossed the plane when he catches it in the right by the end zone, and they didn't stop the game for review. That's exactly what review is supposed to do, is to review plays like that. And then, you know, it was like a Chinese fire drill at that point for fourth down, and Ole Miss just gets stuffed on a QB sneak, and the game's over. But that was kind of that was kind of shady how that wasn't reviewed. And Cal steals the win, and they get to 4-0. And I think they're the only undefeated team in the Pac-12 right now. Go figure. I'm sure that will change. Interesting game with Herm Edwards on Friday night, Cal and Arizona State. Let's see here. What else? Yeah, I guess we'll mention that Washington State game. I mean, you guys are absolutely right. Washington State, UCLA was completely dead. They were a corpse. It was 49-17 in the middle of the third quarter. And, you know, we were kind of like walking around the casinos, doing whatever. And then I looked up on the TV, in the fourth quarter, and they scored 50 points in a quarter and a half. And I know Washington State had like five fumbles. So that was, that certainly played a role. But, UCLA still had like 700 yards. That was just, I could not believe that game happened. And, after 3 weeks of UCLA, they could not score. And then all of a sudden they have 50 points in a quarter and a half. I don't know how do you evaluate each team now going forward? Like, will Washington State be so, down from that loss that they're not going to, can't play the rest of the year? I mean, or will UCLA now just be so invigorated that they're going to look like that every week? So we'll see. I would not touch the games with either of those two teams this weekend, because how can you get a read on that? I think you need some more information, but that was just quite the comeback. And, if Washington State was to miss out on, like, say, the Rose Bowl, for example, I mean, they're going to regret that loss for sure. Up 49-17 in the third quarter. A&M, just horrible. I mean, they couldn't do anything on offense, and just a huge disappointment. I had these guys too, so it was a disappointing Saturday. Give the Auburn defensive line credit. They certainly shut down everything that A&M did. And, Bo Nix isn't great. I mean, he's kind of a game manager at this point in his career. He could be good eventually. I mean, he's just a true freshman. But Auburn's defensive line really dominated, and just a terrible job by Jimbo Fisher not having his team ready for that game. And then the final game, Tennessee, watch out for them again next year. Just destroyed at Florida, 34-3. That team is going nowhere. I still don't think Florida is that good, but Tennessee is just a complete joke. So it was an interesting weekend. Yeah, I guess one more thing on the Notre Dame-Georgia game. I agree, Kirby Smart definitely should have gone for that on fourth and inches. And I'm not just saying that as someone who had Georgia like minus the 15 points. If they had scored there and gone up 28-10, Notre Dame would have been just completely deflated, and I don't think they would have done anything after that. Kicking the field goal gave them life, and it really gave them a chance to win, because they go down and get the touchdown after that and then have the ball with a chance to win. So I thought that was a poor decision by Kirby Smart, and kind of another poor decision and a line of poor decisions going back to when he did that fake punt in the SEC title game last year. So, but they won, and they're certainly remaining contention here, but just something to note with him going forward in these close games.
And I think that decision is even more ponderous when you think about how good they are running the ball. Like, these guys have a really good offensive line, and they've been known for churning out NFL running after NFL running back. They're really good at getting that extra yard. It just didn't make sense to me either, John. I agree with you on that one. So with that on in mind, here's a look at what's happening in this coming week. Just a couple of notes before we get to picks. John mentioned that the games that Washington State and UCLA are going to play. UCLA will be at Arizona to play the Wildcats in Tucson, and Washington State will be playing in Salt Lake City against Utah. So that's what's happening this weekend. Now let's go to the picks, and we will start with Ron in New Jersey, and we're ready for you when you are.
Okay, Dave, my first pick for the week is going to be Penn State minus 6.5 on the road against Maryland. Maryland looked good the first couple weeks of the season. They turned in a turd against Temple, and not even one where you could say they were looking ahead to Penn State, because they had a bye week last week. So, they might have just come back down a little bit to earth. 6.5 isn't a huge number. Penn State, I still think, is far superior of a team. So I'll take Penn State minus 6.5. And my other game, I know we all discussed it, Michigan getting blown out by Wisconsin, but they rebound at home this week against Rutgers. The spread is 27.5. I'm going to take Michigan 27.5. Perfect scenario for them to be angry, looking for revenge, looking to bounce back after last week. Rutgers has their sophomore quarterback in, who threw a ton of interceptions last year. It's just a recipe for disaster, them going on the road to Ann Arbor. I think this one could get ugly. You would hope it would. I know Michigan struggled against Middle Tennessee and Army. But believe it or not, I think both of those teams are far superior to Rutgers. So this should set up for Michigan to go back home and blow the doors off the place. So I'll take Penn State -6.5 on the road and Michigan -27.5 at home against Rutgers.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Big Ten theme for Ron's picks this week in college football. So let's now go to Andy in Seattle. And when you're ready, we're ready for your picks.
Thanks, Dave. Game number one, we're going to take the game that is tomorrow night. And it is AAC action, and it is Navy versus Memphis. And we're going to take the Navy midshipmen getting 10.5 on the road at Memphis. Now, sometimes we like to take Memphis. The thing about Memphis is they are just – they go Lang really easy in the first half, and then that coach, for whatever reason, just goes Lou, doesn't make any adjustments, gets tight. That quarterback there, I forget his name. I'm sure Ron and John could say it, but I forget his name. He's not very accurate, and he's just a little too Jekyll and Hyde. Like, one play, he's making beautiful throws, then the next play, he just running for dear life and just throwing it away. But you know, Memphis, they bother me. And I'm still bitter about last year's bowl game against Wake Forest. They almost gagged it against Ole Miss in the beginning of the year this year. I think they were up 15-0, and they hung on for dear life and won 15-10. They needed a safety. So it might have been 13-0. And then, yeah, they got a safety 15-10. And Navy, for whatever reason, I don't know anything about this year's Navy team, but last year they played Memphis tight. The year before that, they played Memphis tight. These armed forces, Air Force notwithstanding last week, although they were close, they kind of gagged it. That court, never mind. Anyway, they just keep the ball. They keep the ball. They pound it. They take time. You don't want them to get down too many points because their offense isn't built to come back. Their offense isn't built to score quickly. Their offense is built to keep the other team from getting the ball. So if Navy can just munch, you're getting 10.5, then you'll be in good shape. So give me Navy getting 10.5, Thursday night pigskin, game number one. Game number two, we are going to take Bronco Mendenhall and his Virginia Cavaliers on the road at Notre Dame. So I'm going to take Virginia getting 12.5 at Notre Dame. Why am I taking Virginia? I feel like this program has been high on Virginia going back to the preseason Pigskin College preview. I didn't see any of the game against Old Dominion last week, but if that was a trap game, that's the trap game of all trap games. I think they were down a bunch and they came back. Also, they didn't cover, but they might have been looking ahead at this Notre Dame game. So this is the game that they're looking forward to. This is the game they're going to play. Getting 12.5. Notre Dame, they might have left everything they had on the field from that Georgia contest, and now they might be a little... it's an emotional game. They left it everything up. They shot their load against Georgia, and who knows how much they'll have for this Virginia game. You know, they definitely could win, definitely should win 12.5 points, but I feel like they could definitely struggle, and Virginia could just hang around and definitely cover the 12.5 point margin. I know, the likes of, your typical Francesca Northeast caller that only watched Notre Dame growing up and the kid, as a kid, Notre Dame could still make the playoffs. 8 million things go right, they could still do it. I made a joke, like the lower quarter, you got between Texas, UW, Notre Dame, and Washington State fans. That's your like Cretan list of like, Mike, we can make the playoffs with one loss. We just need 5,000 things to go our way between now and you know, December 4th or whatever. So anyway, Virginia getting 12.5 at Notre Dame and Navy getting 10.5 at Memphis. Two road teams for week 5 in the college.
All right. Thanks, Andy, for the picks. So on we go to the next set of picks, and they are my own. Let's go to them really quickly. We're going to start with game number one, and it will be at Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State had a very exciting game against Texas last week in the primetime game. We didn't talk about that in the recap as far as I can remember. Oklahoma State did not win. Texas won out, and that was a nice cover for, I think that was Lou who had that pick. It might have been Ron. But anyway, they're going to be hosting Kansas State. And the thing of it is, I was looking through defensive efficiency rankings, and Kansas State is ranked number 6. I was kind of surprised at that. I'm like, wow, I didn't think they'd be that good. But you look at the schedule, it doesn't look like they played anybody. But you do know that Oklahoma State's defensive efficiency isn't quite as good. They are ranked 44th in that category. 64.3 for Oklahoma State, 90.8 for Kansas State. So this is an unusual call, but I'm going to take Kansas State getting 4.5. in this game, even though it doesn't really make any sense just from looking at the teams. Like, we don't know a whole lot about Kansas State, but I'm going to buy into the numbers. So we'll go K-State plus 4.5. Game number two, Utah coming off a demoralizing loss. Washington State coming off a demoralizing loss. And this game being hosted at Salt Lake City. And more than that, I think the guy, forgot his name already, but he's the running back is not going to play. It said that he was out for the game. So that is going to be a real setback for Utah. And yet, I just think that between, when you talk about two coaches going into this one, it's a total mismatch. I would much rather have my money on Kyle Whittingham's side rather than Mike Leach's side. And further, if you look at the defensive rankings, and that UCLA game to make this team take a hit on this, but Washington State, 97th out of 130 teams in defensive efficiency. I mean, that's absolutely brutal. So we're going to go with the home team in this one, Utah minus 4.5, to go along with Kansas State plus 4.5 in college football week number 5. All right, so now to John. And John, we're ready for your picks.
All right. Thanks, Dave. We'll start with, I mentioned them earlier, we'll go SMU minus 7.5 on the road at USF. And like I said before, this SMU team has just been playing great so far to start the season. Won on the road at TCU. They blew out all the other teams they've played so far this year. A little lesser competition. They played Texas State. They did beat what I think is a pretty good North Texas team on the road. That was a good win. So they're playing great football right now. As opposed to USF, who, honestly, I think they could be one or two losses away from just completely quitting on Charlie Strong. I know they put in a new quarterback on their last game against an FCS team, but really, like, you can't take anything away from playing, like, a low-level FCS team. They were just hideous to start the year. They couldn't score at Georgia Tech, just completely embarrassed by Wisconsin. I just don't think this team is good at all, and I don't think Charlie Strong is long for USF, and I just think SMU is going to continue to roll here. So I don't like the fact that it's the half point right now, but, you know, I'll probably buy that down to a flat 7 if it stays like that. But for podcast purposes, we have to deal with the half. So SMU minus 7.5 at USF for game one. And for game two, I'm going to take Vanderbilt minus 6.5 at home against Northern Illinois. Now, this is just kind of an outclassed thing. Like, I don't think Vanderbilt's a very good team at all. However, like, they schedule these kind of games every year just to get bowl eligible. They'll schedule like 3 patsies to get bowl eligible. And Vanderbilt has had a very difficult schedule to start the season. 2 of the 3 games they played were against LSU and Georgia, top like 5 teams in the country. And their other game was at Purdue, which is a tough road trip. And plus, they were honoring, the student Tyler Trent that passed away from cancer. So that was just a real emotional kind of game. At Purdue, and that was just a really tough schedule to start the season. Now they're playing a MAC team at home. I know Northern Illinois is one of the better MAC teams, but when it comes down to it, it's a MAC roster going on the road against an SEC roster, and I'll take the SEC roster laying by less than a touchdown all day. Not to mention, I backed Northern Illinois 2 weeks ago against Nebraska, and they just got completely annihilated. and their rush defense was horrible. And Vanderbilt does have a pretty good running back, Keshawn Vaughn. He probably deserves to be on a better team than Vanderbilt, but regardless, I think they'll win this one pretty comfortably. So give me Vanderbilt minus the 6.5 for game number two, in addition to SMU minus 7.5 for game number one.
Okay, thanks, John, and good luck to the picks, everybody. Now let's go to the guest picks sent in by Mike in North Jersey, and here they come. Game number one for Mike, he selects Ohio State giving 17 at Nebraska. So Ohio State minus 17 in Lincoln on a game that actually will be in prime time, and I guess that just shows you how light that week is. So that's game number one. Game number two, Mike will go checker with Ron in New Jersey, and he will also take Penn State minus 6.5 at Maryland. So two road favorites for Mike in North Jersey, Ohio State minus 17 and Penn State minus 6.5. And that's it for week number five picks. Let's go look at whatever action you guys want to get to, because there's not much in terms of featured games. There's only two I can identify, and one is kind of, I don't even know if this would even qualify, but the first one is definitely a good one. Virginia, Notre Dame, and John was high on Virginia, and actually everybody was high on Virginia going into the season. So that is going to be very interesting, and we'll see if Andy's pick is dead on here with the point spread. The only other game I could think of was USC versus Washington. You know, will Washington be able to continue its, you know, very faint hopes towards a playoff by beating USC? Recent history doesn't suggest that, you know, it's not necessarily on their side, so we'll see about it. But let's go to Ron. Any thoughts you have on this week's action? Anything that was interesting to you?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a down week when game day is going to Lincoln for Nebraska, Ohio State, after Nebraska barely survived against Minnesota. They needed overtime to win. They're not a very good team. Yeah, not a lot of juice this week. Like you said, Virginia, Notre Dame, stands out. That should be a good game. I'm kind of on the side where I think Notre Dame is going to be looking for some revenge after that Georgia game. Virginia's a good team, and credit Bronco Mendenhall for, you know, building that program back up. But it'll be interesting to see if they can hang with Notre Dame and keep it close. Or it wouldn't even surprise me if they outright win. And, a lot of the other juice this week is in the Pac-12 games, like Andy mentioned, or John mentioned, sorry, Washington State and Utah. On paper, they might not be the best games, but you know that those Pac-12 games, especially the ones after dark, are always going to deliver. So, that's my thoughts on this week. It should not a lot to look forward to, but usually those weeks end up being some of the most fun to watch. So hopefully that stays the same this week.
All right, Andy, let's get your thoughts. Any other thing? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, there's no huge matchup that's going to really affect playoff implications or whatever, but I know people on the Twitter and stuff, like, oh, why is game day going to Nebraska for Ohio State? And again, you know, I'm going to beat this dead horse over and over again. You got butthurt Washington fans who are like, ESPN completely missed the boat. Why don't they come to Seattle for game day? USC Washington. USC already lost, and Washington already lost. Okay, it's not undefeated teams. And then you got, well, they could have done Utah, Washington State. No, they didn't. Like, if both those teams took care of business last week, then you had an argument. Then you had an argument for Utah, Washington State, and for the show to go to Utah. But they're not going to go to a destination where both schools lost the previous week. Use a brain. Use the brain between the ears. So you're stuck with Ohio State, Nebraska. It is what it is. John, we all would have probably, first of all, I don't know how to find these Facebook Live TV channels, but if De'Aaron King was still around, I would definitely try to find Facebook Live to watch Houston, North Texas. That would have been a good degenerate game, but De'Aaron King is gone. The only game I saw on Facebook Live was like a Mets game last year, and like It was a Magic Mets game, and there was like a chat on the right hand side, and like emoji. It was weird. But I tried to find Facebook Live a couple weeks ago when Hawaii, Oregon State was supposedly on there, and I couldn't find it. It was going on the same time as that Cal Washington game that was that started or that got suspended for a couple hours for the Lightning game. But anyway, speaking of Hawaii, another degenerate game that we'd be tuned into is Hawaii is on the mainland. They're playing Nevada. That'll be interesting. UCLA, Arizona will be interesting. You know, the over or under is set at 71 there. You know, gamblers beware, you know, between both those schools. You know, I'll probably take Arizona and regret it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And, yeah, I'm not going to – good luck to Mike touching that Ohio State-Nebraska game. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Alabama has a crockpot potential game against Ole Miss. I think we already talked about all the big games at this point. Oh yeah, I guess Operation Fade Willie Taggart. If you bet against Florida State last week, you felt like you made the right call, but you still got burnt anyway. Louisville was winning that game outright halfway through the fourth quarter. You were getting 6 or 7 points, depending on when you made the bet, and they didn't cover. They just they let Willie Taggart off the hook. Well, lesson of the story, again, don't fall behind 21-0, and then you can maybe cover and win outright these games. And then, yeah, one more gripe, that Oklahoma State-Texas game last week. If you had Texas – you still feel a little chafed because I think they just muffed another punt. I'm not sure, but they muffed at least 3 punts to give Oklahoma State the ball a couple times. But hey, you bet on these college kids. This is what happens sometimes. But we're gonna enjoy it. I can't believe some of these teams have basically played almost 50% of their schedule after next week, but. It goes fast.
It does. Week 5 already. And then you were talking about fading Willie Taggart, but what you could really do is fade him in the second half. And John, and I'll give it to you for this week's action, but you know, we had a little hand in that one too, didn't we?
And that's right. We were like, all right, should we bet Louisville second half? And I think they were down the 21-7 at the time. And we're like, all right, it's Louisville plus, I forget what the spread was, but whatever it was, we ran up to the window and we put a bet on Louisville second half. And even though the full game did not get there, the second half spread covered. So that was definitely a good call on our part, Dave.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So this will be an interesting week, Andy. I will try to find you the link for Facebook next time there's a Facebook Live game. I'll send you the link. It's a weird channel. You have to go to the Watch Stadium page or something. I don't know. I found it last year. I'm sure I'll be able to find it again. So there's a game that you're interested on there. Let me know. I'll try to find it for you next time we have a degenerate scenario with a Facebook Live game. I think they're also on the Stadium app too. If you have a smart TV or smartphone, I think all those games are on the Stadium app. I could be wrong about that, but that's definitely a possibility too. So this week, yeah, I mean, not too many marquee games, but sometimes these are the best weeks for gambling scenarios. The Notre Dame-Virginia game should be pretty good. I would tend to lean with Virginia with the points. You figure last week's game was kind of a look-ahead spot when they struggled against Old Dominion. You have those Pac-12 games, like I said, I am not touching them, although they will be very interesting to watch, especially that USC-Washington game too, especially with USC coming off the big win, big home upset win. We'll see if Fink can continue his hot play. So that should be a good game. Let's see what else here. Oh, yeah, and who could forget the great game, the greatest game of the year between Akron and UMass? How is Akron a 7-point favorite on the road? Like, just on that alone, I kind of want to take UMass, but at the same time, I think UMass is on pace to break UConn's defensive record from last year, which is not a good thing. So, I don't know. That's just a kind of a car crash game to observe from the sidelines. But that's brutal. Okay, one more game I want to mention. This should be a really good game. Baylor and Iowa State in the Big 12. That's a very underrated game. Two pretty good coaches, Campbell and Rule, and two teams that will probably be fighting for second in the Big 12 with Texas, I would say. So I definitely will be into that game. With leading Baylor as the home dog there getting three, I will definitely be watching that. So, that's kind of just a brief overview of the action. Like I said, this is a weekend for the degenerate gambler because there's not a ton of high-profile games. There's just like a lot of under-the-radar games that I'd like to watch.
All right. Well, with that, we now segue into the NFL. There you go. Okay, so let's get to the last week's action, and we go back to Ron in New Jersey.
Yeah, Dave, I guess I'm probably not going to have a lot to add to this. It's kind of a down week in the NFL, in my opinion. Maybe it's just because I had to watch the Jets play the Patriots and gain about 50 yards on offense and then score two touchdowns late in the game off of a pick six and a muff punt by the Patriots. It's a bad beat for whoever, took the Patriots to cover that spread. Belichick in, surprising fashion really took his foot off the pedal, put Jared Stidham in and let him throw the ball all over the field. And he obviously wasn't ready for the NFL primetime game just yet and made some mistakes. So that was surprising. In the early window, I guess Kansas City, Baltimore lived up to the hype. Pretty good game. Harbaugh, both Harbaugh brothers had a rough weekend. Made some really idiotic coaching decisions in that game. Baltimore had a chance to win it late. They were hindered by his decisions earlier in the game. But man, Lamar Jackson this year, he looks like the real deal. I mean, I know a lot of people, a lot of those, football purists, Mike among them, never gave Lamar Jackson any chance to succeed in the NFL. But boy, even if he can't hit his receivers, which he's been doing so far, I mean, the kid's just electric. And that was a fun game to watch, him versus Mahomes. So that one lived up to the hype, especially after you consider that I think Kansas City got like 3 inches of rain right before kickoff. And I know that scared away a lot of people looking at the over and a lot of the fantasy players. That scared a lot of people off that game, and they were able to play through it and, delivered an entertaining game. The afternoon window, again, not much juice. I guess the most interesting game was the Giants and the Buccaneers. The national emergence of Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones. What a stupid fucking nickname.
Who came up with that?
Who knows? I mean, God, probably Paul Dottino. I have no idea. Listen, I'll be the first to admit he looked good, and he looked good in the preseason. And yeah, I said this the other day. We all watched Duke games the past, few years while he was there, and not a single one of us can tell you that he looked like a legit NFL starting quarterback in any of the games, at least that I watched. He looked good, and I would temper the Giants fans' expectations. And by saying this, while he did look good, they were playing a Buccaneers team that isn't very good, and they played a Buccaneers defense coached by Todd Bowles. And I can tell you firsthand from 4 or 5 years of experience that Todd Bowles' defenses are consistently overrated. He doesn't make in-game adjustments. The Giants lost Saquon Barkley early in that game. Daniel Jones was locking eyes on his receivers, and Todd Bowles, in typical Todd Bowles fashion, let his cornerbacks take a 10-12-yard cushion, let Jones dink and dunk all over the field. That 10-yard cushion let Jones run all over the place. So I would temper expectations a little bit and We'll see how good he is when he plays the Vikings and the Patriots and the Eagles and the Cowboys of the world. I know they play the Redskins this week. But the Buccaneers should have won that game late. You had just a mind-numbingly bad decision late in the game by Bruce Arians to take a delay a game and move the ball back 5 yards because he admitted his kicker's better from further distance, which I've never heard of before in my life. And the kid goes right out there and misses a 32-yard field goal. big finger to me, big finger to anybody who talks bad about the Buccaneers. but I was all over that game. There wasn't much juice in the rest of the afternoon window. And, I mean, you got two fucking terrible primetime games this week with the Rams and the Browns. It was like watching paint dry. Just awful, awful game. Andy says it every year, and Jesus Christ, he is right every single year. The Browns are going to be the Browns. Every year it's look out for the Browns. And I'll believe it when they're in the Super Bowl. Besides that, he's right. They're still going to be the Browns. They are awful to watch. And then on Monday night, you had the Bears and the Redskins. I'll be honest with you, I might have watched 2 seconds of that game. That is one of the worst matchups on paper that you could ever put together. When you have two good teams on Monday night, you could you can stand the Booger McFarland, I guess, for the game. But when you have the Redskins and Bears, I mean, it is death to the eardrums, just unwatchable in my opinion. So I don't even know who's playing this Monday night. I hope it's something better than that. Probably isn't.
Yeah, it's like Bungles.
No, that's no better, Dave.
No, you're right.
Steelers Bengals. So Booger on.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, it's bad.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is shit. That is. I will not be tuning in to see you on Sunday night. Wow. But that's my thoughts for the week.
All right.
Pretty dull week, but, it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you, the groan I had earlier in your segment, in your recap, is because I took the under, seeing the rain in Arrowhead Stadium. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be way under now. And the rain cleared up in like the next 10 minutes. I'm like, what? What happened? So they went way over.
You mushed the rain, Dave.
I think I did. That's funny. All right. So let's go to Andy and get your recap of last week's action.
Yeah. I mean, Ron pretty much nailed that pretty well. I didn't have a great Sunday taking the games. I think Chris Carson just fumbled again up in Seattle. Either that or he slipped. What'd he do? Oh, he fumbled again? Okay. I mean, goodness gracious. You, Teddy Bridgewater, Team Ass Clown, on the road, and you spot them 14 points because you couldn't cover a punt properly, and your running back is wearing the wrong shoes and fumbling the ball left and right. I mean, that's just a bad loss. Some of the coaching has a lot to be desired across the league. It's to the point where, Andy Reid doesn't even get mocked that much anymore. I mean, when you got, we could do a whole podcast on Freddie Kitchens if we want, but we don't have to do that. But those, and I thank goodness I had the Rams on Sunday night. If the Browns hadn't covered that game, that would have been pretty nasty. But I mean, those four plays from first and goal from the 4 yard line, I mean, just a disaster. Harbaugh's math. Like, what are you doing? Like, just going for two time and time again when you didn't need to. It's just weird stuff. Like that Monday night game was a disaster between the Bears and the Redskins. I don't know what Gruden was doing, when they were down 28-3 and they scored a touchdown. And what are you doing trying to make it a 17-point game when it's 18-7? It's still three. What are you doing? But anyway, I don't think he's going to be coaching the Skins for very long. Even the talented team like the Eagles, like, they got away because they blocked the field goal, but they had all three timeouts, and there was like 3 minutes left, and they went for it on 4th and 8 from their own 20-yard line against the Lions. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you all doing? So just some, and even, yeah, Seattle, like, they were going for it on, you know, 4th and 8 from their own, you know, 30-yard line with like 6 minutes left in the third quarter. Just really some mind-boggling, strange coaching decisions throughout that Sunday. And yeah, I know we can. Daniel Jones, he played okay. He played well. He made some nice throws. But that game, like, they 9 out of 10 times they lose that game because the kicker makes a 34-yard field goal. Like, then we won't be talking about Daniel Jones. We'll be talking about LOL Giants defense. So, you know, things can change pretty quick. But yeah, it was just a entertaining week three. Wasn't the profitable week three, but it was entertaining. And yeah, like, something was a little weird with Green Bay because they got out to these quick starts and their offense is in sync. From the Bears game, it was the opposite. Their offense got together in the second half. But yeah, the Packers, for two games in a row now, their first half, their offense is great, and then they kind of cruise control in the second half. But their defense is really nice, and I would like their chances against the Eagles tomorrow.
Yes, and we'll see if we have some time to talk about some of these games in detail coming up this weekend. So with that in mind, let's go to last week's action again in the NFL. And, John, let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, it was fun watching all the games in the sports book, especially since I was winning. Me and Dave had a crazy second half bet with the Seahawks, -7, and they were at the end of the game there. I think they had like 5 plays with, yep, under a second left because of all those penalties with the Saints. And then they literally scored the touchdown on the last play, and me and Dave just went wild because that gave us the -7 for the second half. But then they didn't kick the extra point, which we would have covered. I said it was a push, but still, that was just a heck of a push the way the second half started with another fumble. But yeah, that was a bad loss for Seattle. I mean, they outgained them by, I think, 200 yards, and they really couldn't do anything because of the poor coaching and the Saints, you know, special team defensive touchdowns. Carroll, like, I agreed with him going for the fourth down, but like he throws a bomb deep when they're this established the run kind of team, but that just didn't make much sense to me. But you know, that was a bad home loss for them, but I will definitely take that second half push. The Steelers had 5 turnovers from the Niners and still couldn't win. Niners were lucky to pull that one out. You know, Mason Rudolph didn't look great, but, you know, made a play at the end of the game to give them the lead, but the 49ers came back, and that's a brutal game Monday night now. 0-3 Steelers, 0-3 Bengals. Although Dalton was horrible in the first half against the Bills, but woke up in the second and got me to cover there, so that was nice. Let's see what else here. Oh, yeah. So I was very surprised that the line in the Panthers-Cardinals game just completely flipped after Cam Newton was ruled out of the game. Like, okay, a ruled out for the week, rather. It's like, okay, well, yeah, obviously, I think if Cam Newton was 100% healthy, he's a better quarterback than Kyle Allen. But has anyone just watched Cam Newton recently? He was just terrible. He couldn't throw. And, you know, benching him was the right move. And I don't understand how that line completely moved. And that was one of my better bets of the day. I took the Panthers outright and then in the second half too, because the Cardinals are just a complete disgrace. I mean, we all know this. With Kingsbury does not deserve to be an NFL coach. And it's just showing every week. And, you know, Kyle Allen looked great. He was like 19 of 26, 260 yards and 4 touchdowns. So maybe Cam Newton will lose his job here going forward if Allen keeps playing like this. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Yeah, the Daniel Jones played really well. Second half comeback, and of course the Bucks did what the Bucks do at the end, missing the field goal, and that's a tough loss for them. But that's kind of the Bucks' MO. And then Sunday night, Freddie Kitchens running a draw play on fourth and nine. I think they said on ESPN they had to go back like 20 years, and that was like the only time someone's ever run a draw play on fourth and nine in like the last how many years. That's just how bad that was. And then at the end of the game, when they're down on the goal line, he calls a timeout before fourth down, which was just so mind-bogglingly bad, because even if you don't get it there, you still have three timeouts. You could get the ball back. But once he burns that timeout, there's no chance for them to get the ball back with under a minute left. So that was just really, really bad, and they deserve to lose on that. And the Packers, they look pretty good. Their defense just continues to I won't say dominate, because Denver had some nice drives, but they come up with sacks and turnovers, and that's what you want your defense to do in key situations. And you can tell Aaron Rodgers is just thrilled to finally have a defense that can actually make plays, and he doesn't have to win the game by himself. And he's just playing a very well-controlled, managed game, not making mistakes. I mean, he makes big plays when he has to. That pass in the first quarter on the free play was magnificent. And, they're off to a good start. Hopefully another win tomorrow night against the Eagles, but certainly happy for the start to the season, that's for sure. So it was an interesting week, and you definitely had some juice, which is what all you can hope for the witching hour scenarios on Sunday.
All right. Well, with that, let's go to the week number four NFL picks. And we now go back to Ron in New Jersey. And Ron, after a good week, week four or week three in the NFL, we're ready for you to keep it continue here. So we're ready when you are.
All right. Game number one, I'm going to take the Colts -7 at home against the Raiders. The Raiders came into Minnesota last week at 1 o'clock, flew across the country up north to Minnesota, laid a stinker. I think they do the same thing in Indianapolis. Everybody went nuts in LOL Colts when Andrew Luck got hurt. But they're a decent team. They're coached well. Brissett isn't as bad as you would think. And the Raiders are just a disaster. Both Gruden brothers, let's be honest, should be out of the NFL. But I'll take the Colts -7 at home against the Raiders. And pick number two, I am going to go with the Rams. I believe it's -10. You could correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. Might be 9.5. The Rams minus whatever at home against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sorry if you can't beat the Giants. Leading the whole game up by two touchdowns late in the fourth quarter. You're going into Los Angeles where, since 2018, the Rams at home have been, one of the best teams in the NFL. They put up a ton of points at home. I know it's a different Ram team this year. Gurley isn't Gurley. Goff looks a little thrown off, but at home against the Buccaneers, traveling across country, give me the Rams -10. As my second pick for the week, Dave.
All right. I just saw it. I went to Vegas Insider as you were announcing that. I see 9.5, so I'm actually going to give you an extra half a point less to worry about. So you'll be in a good
spot.
All right. Now,
sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Now, when that Raiders game was the local game in Las Vegas, and when you're at a sports book, you can't really tell what the local game is, but I believe that was it. And that was a disaster. They look terrible. Their offense looks just absolutely brutal right now. So I'm walking. John and I are in Vegas, and I'm seeing all these signs all over town. Like the Raiders are coming, and I can imagine fans around there are like, do they have to? Like, they're so bad right now. It's a little bit of a mess. So anyway, on to Andy in Seattle, and we're ready for your picks.
So thanks, Dave. I'll be quick. Game number one, I'll take the Pats up in Buffalo, giving 7. Buffalo, they are 3-0, but they've also kind of been a beneficiary of a somewhat soft schedule. Cincinnati, the Giants, and the Jets, and they were very fortunate to beat the Jets. So, yeah, I know they'll be really bigly pumped up for this game, but New England does seem to have their way with Buffalo in Buffalo, at least for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years or so. And the Patriots have been kind of firing on all cylinders, with the exception to in the Jet game. Yeah, they muffed a punt and stiffed them through a pick six. You know, Edelman got some bruised ribs at the end of the first half. That kind of slowed their offense down a little bit. And they didn't have James White. I think they'll be a little more in tune this week. And, I can just see the Patriots kind of winning by a little more than 7 points up in Buffalo on Sunday. So give me the Pats -7 for game number one. And game number two, I will take the Giants giving 3 to the Redskins. This isn't a pro Daniel Jones pick by any stretch of the imagination. This is just an anti Redskins pick. Case Keenum has a lot to be desired. Adrian Peterson has a lot to be desired. Jay Gruden has a lot to be desired. That team stinks. Washington Dolphins game in a couple weeks. I mean, goodness gracious. Who's going to watch that? It's probably some contrarian that's going to be like, this game's going to be better than Chiefs Packers. But, you know, anyway, give me the Giants -3 to complement the Patriots giving 7 at the Bills. Week 4 NFL.
All right. Thank you, Andy. That's funny. You know, let me go to my picks. Let's go. All right. Here we go. So game number one, I'm going to go check her with Andy on the Patriots game. I'm going to go Patriots -7 at the Bills. Game number two, I don't love this pick at all. I really, this is a coin flip game, but there's just nothing else in the schedule that was really grabbing me here. So I'm going to go Cowboys giving 2.5 at the Saints. Now, here's the thing. Bridgewater and the Saints have been playing pretty resiliently over the last week and a half or so. I mean, it started when Breeze got hurt in the game against Carolina. They gutted that one out and they won. Then they went out and they beat Seattle, capitalizing on their mistakes. But this offense doesn't seem like it's that great without Drew Brees in there. Kamara did have a nice game last week, but I don't know. I think that they're going to be due for their first Teddy Bridgewater loss. But the thing is, I don't trust Dallas either. I just don't think they're as good as they've looked. When you play the Dolphins, you look like 2 times as good as you actually are. And by the way, the Dolphins are going to be hosting the Chargers this coming week, and Yachts will be at the game. Good luck, Yachts. I don't know what to make of that one. Like that, I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you. But anyway, my picks: Patriots -7, Cowboys -2.5. Okay, so John, we're ready for your picks when you are.
All right, Dave. We'll start here. The Lions were good to me last week, so we'll stick with them here. I'll take Detroit +7 at home against the Chiefs. I know it's kind of crazy to bet against the Chiefs, how hot they are right now, but they didn't cover last week at home against Baltimore. And I think the Lions can kind of play a similar game. They play at a very slow pace. They can run the ball effectively, I think, with Johnson to kind of limit Mahomes' possession. I just think it's just 7 points is a lot to cover on the road in the NFL against a solid team. This game kind of reminds me of last year when the Patriots went on the road to play the Lions on Sunday Night Football. And, the Lions won the game outright. I know there's a lot of different factors, but I don't know. I just think that Detroit can kind of hang in this game and just kind of slow the pace down and, keep it within, like, a 28-24, 28-23 kind of game. So give me the Lions home dog +7 for game number one. For game two, there's a lot of different options here that I wanted to take, but screw it. We will go with the Titans +4 in Atlanta against the Falcons. Now, the Titans are the kind of team that they just look like complete dog shit 1 week, and then the next week they just pull a surprise upset. And I could see them winning this game outright in Atlanta. Number one, they have some rest playing on the Thursday night game. I do think they'll be able to run the ball on Atlanta. Henry should have a pretty big game. And you just can't trust Matt Ryan and the Falcons in any spot. I know they did usually bounce back after a loss, but I just think this is going to be a close game. I think you're getting over a field goal, which is key in the NFL. I could see this being like a 23-20 game. Maybe even Tennessee pulls the outright upset. I mean, their defense is pretty good. If you remember week one, they had all those turnovers against the Browns. I could see them getting after Ryan, getting some sacks, forcing them to make some mistakes. I just think this is a close game. And, you know, Tennessee is just the kind of team, like I said, just when you think that they're down for the year, they'll win like two straight to get above 500. And at the end of the journey, they'll be 9-7 or 8-8. So you got to get some wins somewhere along the way. And I think this could be a potential win for them. So Titans plus 4, Lions plus 7. Those are my picks for NFL week number 4.
All right. Thank you, John. And that'll conclude the regular picks from the panelists. Let's give you the guest picks now from Mike in North Jersey. And here they are. Game number 1 for Mike. He will go Bengals plus 4 at the Steelers. All right, and you know, like everybody was saying, it's a matchup of 2-0-3 teams. That's not going to be a pretty watch. Game number 2, he will go head to head with John and take the Falcons minus 4 at home against said Titans. So Bengals plus 4 and Falcons minus 4 for Mike in North Jersey. Week number 4 in the NFL. And that's it. That's going to do it for our show. We can do final thoughts. And if you want some thoughts on the upcoming games, the featured games are Philadelphia, Green Bay, and Dallas, New Orleans. That's as good as I got. I mean, that Lions-Chiefs game could be interesting, too. So final thoughts / this week's action thoughts. Let's start with Ron in New Jersey.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dave. Tomorrow night's game and the Cowboys-Saints games are the ones that jump out at me. Pat's Bills might have some juice to it, but you know, I have a feeling the Pats are gonna, you know, hand a reality check to Buffalo. I will say I agree with John about that Titans Falcons game. Titans are you know, annually a team that, you know, looks horrible in games where they're supposed to win. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, you know, they're like 7-7 going into the last 2 weeks with a shot to make the playoffs. It's uncanny how they piece together, you know, wins when you don't expect it, or, you know, when you're not paying attention. So I think this week's a perfect spot for them to go into Atlanta and beat a, you know, mediocre Atlanta team. But yeah, that's my thoughts for the week.
All right, and my thanks, Ron, for coming back. Let's go to everyone else for final thoughts and this week's action thoughts. Andy, we got you next. What are your thoughts on this week's action?
Let's see. Truth be told, I don't really have any.
Okay, that's fine.
Gamble better. Gotta gamble better.
All right, John, final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. We got to just keep it going. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We try to give up a couple units each week, and if you do that all 17 weeks, you'll be doing pretty good at the end of the year. So I'm right with Andy on that thought. But, yeah, tomorrow's game should be interesting. Kind of nervous about the Eagles are kind of a desperation scenario against Green Bay. Should be a good game, so we'll see what happens. Obviously, being at home, the Packers have to defend their home turf and win this one to get to 4-0, in my opinion. The schedule is front-loaded with home games. After this week, they do play at Dallas. That'll be a tough game. But then they have two more games at home. So if they can win their home games and get to 6-1, that'll be a heck of a start to the year. So definitely we'll be looking forward to that game tomorrow night. And then the one game that we didn't mention on Sunday, obviously in the NFC North, Vikings and Bears, which should be a slugfest. I mean, both quarterbacks do not inspire confidence going against the opposing defenses. So this could be like your typical 16-13 kind of NFC North game, or whichever team's quarterback makes a big mistake, and that team will lose the game. So I'll definitely be into that one. And then they have the Sunday night game. They kind of lose the juice with Breeze not being there, but I'm sure they'll try to play up, you know, the Saints and New Orleans and Bridgewater with a comeback story, and you know, obviously the Cowboys are a big draw, so that'll, you know, NBC I'm certainly is not. They rather have the Sunday night game than the Monday night game. That's for sure. That Bengals Steelers. That's rough. But yeah, it should be a fun week. And I agree with Andy. We need to gamble better and keep it going here.
Yeah, it goes for me too. I mean, I was like everyone else. I got killed in Saturday's action. So we will all try to gamble better. Ron, Andy, John, thanks again. Have a good weekend. And I guess we'll see you in about a week, in about 2 weeks from now, because we'll be off next week. And does anybody want to offer any wild card predictions? Andy, anybody? No? Okay.
I'm too early for baseball.
That's
sorry,
all right.
Phil.
That's all right. All right. So, fellas, in that case, have a good one. We'll catch up with you soon. Take care, guys.
Good luck, everybody.
All right, Dave. See you.
All right, fellas. Take care. That's it for the show tonight. And, yeah, we'll have more baseball coverage for you next week. That's with Fiddle. That's with Jerry. And we'll give you our postseason preview then. As for my predictions, I mean, I don't think there's really anything to predict. I mean, I think it's really between the Indians and the Rays to take on that last wild card spot. We'll see. But enjoy all the games. We'll see you next time. So you